Hi, thanks for having us.
Great to have you there. How was Pyeongchang?
Yeah, incredible, mate. One of the greatest experiences I've had.
What's it like to compete in a big sporting event wearing Australian colours?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. The feeling I got walking out for the opening ceremony is incredible. I was trying to be present and take the whole moment in, but it just went by in a blur.
And when it came to the, you were competing in two separate events, weren't you, in snowboarding?
Yeah.
Confess to not having a deep knowledge of snowboarding, but there's a slalom and also there's the snowboard cross is the other one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So both racing events. In the para, we only have racing events, whereas in the Olympics, there's a few freestyle events as well.
And how did you go?
Yeah, not too bad. I finished ninth in the snowboard cross. My teammate, Simi, took it out with the gold. And then I finished fifth in the bank slalom, equaling my best result so far. So, yeah, really happy.
I can imagine that if I was to take you back to September in 2014, so before you had your encounter with those sharks, The thought that you would be representing Australia in a sport like snowboarding would have been quite bizarre as a surfing lad from WA.
Yeah, like I'd never even seen snow then and it hadn't even really crossed my mind competing for Australia. And, you know, I was a electrician, footballer, surfer, and it's been just turned upside down and I've built it into a new thing. It's been a crazy few years.
So absolutely crazy, and quite reasonably, as I understand it, you don't like having to recount in detail what happened to you that day at Esperance. What do you say if people ask you how you lost your arms?
Yeah, it's a tough one. It brings up PTSD for me when I do go over it, so I try and steer clear of it as I can, but I know people are interested, and I just kind of say, you know, it was a shark attack. It was all over pretty quickly, but it was a tough time. And now it just feels like a bad dream to me.
Does it sit in a place in your head that you don't like to approach? That, you know, you can't expunge it from, I suppose, your memories, your imaginative space, but you can perhaps put a lock on that door and try and keep it away in that part of your head?
Yeah, definitely. And keeping busy is easier to kind of get away from it as well. You know, even just talking about it now, I'll probably be thinking about it when I go to sleep tonight. So,
yeah, I'm absolutely not going to ask you to relive it because I do fully comprehend the sense of that sort of flashback and the trouble that comes with it. So let's not go there. Let's go instead up to the first time, literally within months of that moment, when you decided to go snowboarding. That itself must have been incredibly gutsy to do because you had no working arms.
Yeah, definitely. Snowboarding is a lot about balance and that's where you get your balance from, your arms. So, yeah, I just went on a trip with my good surfing buddies. We went to Mount Buller in Victoria and, yeah, had a really good time there and I really enjoyed the snowboarding kind of world and looked at getting into it more.
How did it compare with surfing? Is there a lot of physical similarity?
Yeah, you get yourself in similar positions to steer the board, but it is a little different being as there's only one energy source, gravity, whereas with surfing, you got the energy from the wave as well.
Was there a moment when you were snowboarding and you thought, I've got this, I can feel it, I know what I'm doing here?
Yeah, kind of. It is like a different feeling, but similar at the same time. So I just enjoy all board sports like skateboarding as well and surfing and snowboarding now.
And so how did it form for you, the idea that this could be something that could actually lead to a profession for you?
One of my buddies from that first trip went to Canada on a working visa. And so I went and visited him over there and we did a bit of snowboarding. And by coincidence, I ran into the Canadian para snowboard coach in the resort over there. And he told me all about the sport and was interested in, you know, my story and stuff. And he said, you know, come ride for Canada. I was like, I can't. I'm from Australia. So, yeah, it was interesting there. And then I got in contact with the APC once I got home from that trip. And, yeah, it kind of all went from there.
And were they immediately supportive and on your case for you?
Yeah, so they put me onto a training camp kind of tryout day for para snowboard. And, yeah, I booked the tickets to go to that in Perisher back in 2016 and Yeah, I met the Aussie team, and it was a really cool team, and it was something that I wanted to be a part of going forward.
People talk a lot about sport as being, you know, fantastically useful, that capacity to focus all your attention, to get fit and to stay fit and, you know, to allow your competitive instincts. How critically important do you think sport is in the recovery, particularly of young people who are vigorous and young at the time when something befalls them?
Yeah, it's hugely important for me. Like the first 6 to 12 months after I got out of hospital was pretty tough. Like some days I didn't want to get out of bed, and I first jumped back on the skateboard, and that kind of gave me a, you know, something to do. And then getting onto the Australian snowboard team has really given me a purpose and kind of like a goal to push for. And that was Pyeongchang 2018. So yeah, it's been a really big part of my life, sport, and I'm happy that I can still do it now.
Well, this is the year that made me. Our guest is Sean Pollard. Sean, when you were a kid, you moved around a great deal with your mum and dad and your siblings. Why was that?
That's how it was with my family. We kind of would stay in a place for up to 2 years, and then whether it be for work for dad or the parents splitting up and going to different places, we just moved around, and that was all I knew as a kid. It was normal for me, and I realize now that it's kind of influenced a lot of things in my life and how I deal with things now.
Influenced in a good way?
Yeah, I think so. Like I was exposed to a lot of different people, and mostly, you know, WA, you got the coastal lifestyle. So I was really into that, and coming from one town and going to another, it is important for me as well in sport to start playing footy and then make friends again through that.
So I guess as a child, you had that sense of picking yourself up and starting again over and over again. And in retrospect, is that lesson of being able to sort of dust yourself off and saying, okay, this is the next thing, I'll get ready for this, was that something you drew on when you realized that you weren't physically going to be the man that you were before the attack and that you were going to have to find some new way forward?
Yeah, probably not consciously, but having that background has definitely kind of helped me pick up, and I know that things aren't always set in stone, so you have to be adaptable and make changes and learn to live with the changes that you do make.
So you do a fair bit of public speaking now. How does that go?
Yeah, I'm looking at getting into it a lot more now. Before, I'd been contacted a lot just to hear the story about the shark attack, and it kind of didn't sit well with me being a negative story, whereas now I've been to the Paralympics and I've got a positive story and about a comeback and stuff. I feel like that I want to share it with people.
Did you see yourself as a public speaker? Was that part of your self-perception as you were, you know, a kid growing up and spending a lot of time on the beaches?
Nah, not at all, mate. Like I was a pretty quiet kid, and it kind of makes me really nervous doing it now, but it keeps us exciting when you know you got the butterflies in your stomach.
I mean, that's the way, isn't it? Because people say that there are people who are more afraid of speaking in front of a crowd in a live situation than they're afraid of dying. That is the surveys that famously get done by people. People really, very many people, hate speaking in public. Was that you before this?
Yeah, definitely. Like even now, like I had trouble sleeping last night knowing that I was going to have to be talking. So you get up super early thinking about what you're going to say, and it's not easy, but it's something that I'm looking forward to kind of getting more into.
Yeah. Does it get easier?
Once you kind of break the ice and then you're into your story, it is easier then, but it's that first initial kind of few words where you're scared that you're going to, I don't know, fall over or something, but you got that kind of fear in your mind, but it works out.
Good on you. It is the first few seconds, isn't it? But I'm reminded of Damien Tomlinson, who you may know. He's a very keen snowboarder, I know that much. But he was a commando, a special forces soldier who lost both his legs in 2009 in Afghanistan.
Okay.
He's subsequently written a book. He's appeared in the movie Hacksaw Ridge with Mel Gibson, the one that he directed. He told me that losing his legs was the best thing that ever happened to him. Would you go that far?
Or I don't know. It's definitely given me the opportunities that I wouldn't have had before. But like, I'm a pretty kind of regular bloke, I like to think, and I was fairly happy before with, you know, working as an electrician and living my life the way it was. And yeah, I probably wouldn't change anything, but I wouldn't say it's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Mm. Yeah, no, you said the year that made you was 2017, last year. Why is that?
That was when the whole kind of snowboarding thing really took off. I've got a love for travel, and I got to visit a lot of amazing places over the year. I went to Finland above the Arctic Circle, which was really cool. I got to see a lot of Australia. I drove across the Nullarbor to go to the winter season in Victoria, and that was incredible and something that I hadn't done before. Yeah, just a lot of great experiences throughout the year.
And you surf still?
Yeah, I go to the beach a lot and usually just swim and or body surf these days. I've tried a lot going back on a normal stand-up, but it's so challenging with the paddling and jumping to your feet. So I'll be happy if I go for a surf these days and I'll get one wave where I can get to my feet out of 20. Like, that's a good surf for me. The rest of the time I'm getting dumped. So.
And are you nervous as you do that about sharks?
Yeah, like it's in the back of my mind a lot more now. It was a little before, but yeah, definitely a lot more now. I don't stay out for too long and yeah, it's tough, but I've always been close to the ocean, and if I'm away for it a while, I kind of miss it, and so I'll go back and go for a swim.
When you've got the mountains, you've got the ocean to go back with on your own terms nowadays, so not the worst of Australian lives. The song you've picked for us is by the Sydney band Ocean Alley. It's called The Come Down. Why did you pick it?
Yeah, just one of my favourite songs throughout the year. Those guys have got some really good tunes at the moment, and they released a new album a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, and this was my favourite.
Fantastic. Sean Pollard, shark attack survivor and Australian representative snowboarder. Thanks so much for being with us on The Year That Made Me.
Thank you.